Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart. If you want to read a very powerful and concise treatise on social collapse, read the Book of Jeremiah. The Book of Jeremiah is presents for us a picture of God's people in active, not passive rebellion, but in pasha, an active rebellion against the known will of God. This word pasha is used also in the Book of Jonah, because when Jonah was told by God that he had to go to preach to Ninevites, we read that Jonah reared up. The verb there is pasha, rebellion against appropriate authority. And Jonah was in rebellion against God's appropriate authority over his life. The Book of Jeremiah is, of course, written by the prophet, and the theme is renewal and hope, but the keynote of his ministry is conflict. And his wonderful name means the Lord exalts. The Lord exalts. Von Rad wrote the Book of Jeremiah, quote, "His thoughts constantly revolve around the tremendous bondage in which man is the prisoner of his own opposition to God," unquote. Once again, Gerhard von Rad wrote, quote, "His thoughts," that is the thoughts of Jeremiah, "constantly revolve around the tremendous bondage in which man is the prisoner of his own opposition to God," unquote. So, in Jeremiah chapter 1, we read about the call of Jeremiah. And verse 4, we read that the word of the Lord came to me. That is Jeremiah. The Hebrew verb there is hayah, is a verb of being. And it literally means, the devar Yahweh happened to me. The devar Yahweh happened to me. That is to Jeremiah. And so this event, this happening, placed Jeremiah in a unique situation before Yahweh. His life would never be the same again because the hand of God had touched him. And why? Because God wanted him to speak the word of salvation to God's own beleaguered people. And why were it was because of sin, idolatry, rebellion. In chapter 2, we read about the legal discovery that God is doing with regard to his people. And so in verse 5, we read, "This is what the Lord says. This is what the Lord says. What fault did your fathers find in me, that they strayed so far from me? They followed worthless idols and became worthless themselves." In other words, we become that which we behold. Yahweh's people prospered when they looked only to him for all their needs. We are cared for and we are cleansed when we follow the Lord. And we incur an incurable wound when we follow that which is left than the Lord. Jeremiah is a book of renewal and hope in the face of horrible self-destructive attitudes and behavior. The people turned from Yahweh to that which was meaningless or worthless. The people became involved in idolatry, a word in Hebrew that literally means nothingness. Idolatry is evil, sinful, criminal activity. It is behavior on the part of a believer which destroys all relationships that are of real value. Idolatry is an evil, an incurable wound of the soul. Jeremiah stayed with his people. Jeremiah would not leave his people. Jeremiah went off into captivity with his people. The book following Jeremiah is the Book of Lamentations. We believe it was written about 586 B.C. And one brother calls, entitles Lamentation, which means funeral dirges or funeral songs. He calls this book, quote, Grief That Heals, or The Therapy of Trouble, unquote. So these are funeral dirges written by Jeremiah upon the destruction of Jerusalem in 586 BC. Jerusalem is destroyed because of this incurable wound. Why was the wound incurable? Jerusalem's wound was incurable because it had turned away the city and its inhabitants, the city and its leadership. Political leadership, the religious leadership had collectively turned away from God. We read in the book of Leviticus about the cycles of discipline and how God would bring in the cycles of discipline in order to bring his people back, to woo them back to him. God will introduce trouble into the paradigm that they wanted in their lives. And God would show them that the paradigm that they chose above him was sorely lacking. These algorithms of bear, these algorithms of rebellion never worked. They always broke down. And so we read in the book of Judges about God's the people and their understanding of game theory and how they played game theory with God and their spirituality. And so we read at the end of the book of Judges that there is no king in Israel and every man did what was right in his own eyes. So now we have relativism, moral, spiritual relativism. God's people never prospered. And so we have this theme. We have this running commentary. We have this thread that runs through the Old Testament, and that is God's people will stray from him. In 722 B.C., the northern kingdom, that is Israel, went into captivity. The Assyrians destroyed the northern. The Assyrians decimated the northern kingdom. And yet the southern kingdom, that is Judah, lasted, we think, maybe another 100, 150 years. They didn't learn their lesson by looking at what had happened to the northern kingdom. The northern kingdom, they didn't learn. eventually they too would go into captivity. There were some revivals in the southern kingdom. All of the kings in the northern kingdom were terrible. There were some good kings in the southern kingdom. And so Nebuchadnezzar comes in, and he destroys Jerusalem. And the prophet, that is Jeremiah, wrote these lamentations, these shemot songs, talking about what happened to the once proud city of Jerusalem, what happened to God's people. How deserted lies the city, once so full of people. How like a widow is she, who once was great among the nations. And as you speak these words, you can hear the soldiers running up and down the streets. You can picture the broken homes, the broken wall, the devouring flames, the cries, the echoes of pain and ruin and misery. God's people in the southern kingdom went into captivity. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, Peter writes, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. If it first began at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" So Peter here speaks of unbelief and disobedience. I want you to think about those words. Peter speaks about unbelief to disobedience. Verse 18, "And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let us that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." Judgment begins at the house of God. Why is the church today in Babylonian captivity? Well, spiritually speaking, it is because of sin and rebellion. The church has dismissed sin. The church has decided not to be serious about sin in order to conform to the world. Please read Romans chapter 12. And read that word conform. Paul writes, "Be not conformed to this present age." Be not conformed. Read that word. Understand what he is saying. And so I want you to see the parallels between the Babylonian captivity of the people of God in the Old Testament and the Babylonian captivity of the church. Look around you. Look at it. Listen to the discord. Look at what is going on in our country and in the world. There are some countries that have decided for Jesus, for God, and they will follow him. They are prospering because they have decided to follow Jesus. America, we need to return to Jesus and follow him only. May God bless you tonight. Amen.